This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Duke Energy has been in the news the past year because of its impending merger with Progress Energy. The combination would create the biggest utility in the country. But while Duke Energy waits on approval to merge, opponents have sounded warnings. The national environmental organization Greenpeace opened an office in Charlotte last year with the hope of stopping the merger. Last month, 16 members of Greenpeace were arrested after scaling a Progress Energy smokestack in Asheville. They displayed a banner protesting the merger. A couple days later, six more Greenpeace protesters were arrested in front of the Duke Energy building in Charlotte. They were brandishing a sign in opposition to Duke Energy's price hikes. Bruce Henderson's on the line with us. He's an energy and environmental writer at the Charlotte Observer. He's on the phone now to tell us more about the brewing battle between Greenpeace and Duke Energy. Welcome, Bruce.
Glad to be here.
Why is Greenpeace upset with Duke Energy?
Well, Duke Energy is, as you pointed out, going to be the largest utility in the United States if the merger goes through, which I think it will. And that gives Greenpeace a big red target to shoot at.
Yeah, so this is a whale they don't want to save.
Right.
And but it's big, and of course, big is a little bit dangerous. They don't want Duke to get to the point that the holy grail for corporations, too big to fail. I guess that's part of their concern.
That's been pointed out. A lot of people think that the merger of Duke and Progress Energy will produce a political entity through their lobbying and political contributions that are have too much power. That was one of the themes running through the merger hearings there in Raleigh last year. And there's also just the fact that utilities have emissions from their power plants, and that a bigger utility will have more emissions.
Greenpeace says Duke Energy has promised to do more for the environment but is not following through. Now, has Duke Energy gone back on some of its promises?
Hasn't gone back as much as just not gone as far as Greenpeace would like to see Duke do. Duke is under a lot of regulatory pressure, both from the state of North Carolina and from federal regulators to bring down its pollutant load of nitrogen oxides, which form ozone, and sulfur dioxide, which contributes to smoggy sky, hazy skies, and particulate matter. So it's not a matter of their choice of doing those things. North Carolina was ahead of most states in 2007, in adopting a state law that said coal-fired power plants specifically had to reduce their emissions very sharply. So in order to meet that mandate, Duke had to install new pollution controls. They had to retire some older plants, which are the dirtiest ones, and they are building new plants that have state-of-the-art pollution controls. And all that's in a pretty expensive proposition.
What else has Greenpeace done in terms of protest? We talked about the smokestack scaling and the protest out in front of the Duke Energy building. Any other forms that the protest has taken?
We're all waiting to see what happens next. I think they did have a few protesters arrested outside the Duke headquarters weekend before last. Only a handful. It wasn't because of the day of the week. It wasn't a big event and didn't get a lot of splash in the press here.
Now,
it would have been fairly quiet.
Other thing is that Duke Energy has been promoting nuclear energy as an alternate means. Certainly, it's a cleaner means as long as everything goes okay. But it's also very costly. I mean, even the riverboat gamblers on Wall Street won't invest in that. And there are some who say that's the cause of the rate hikes, that these rate hikes are subsidizing technology that not even Wall Street will finance.
Well, not yet. What the rate hikes are paying for are for the things that I've already mentioned for conventional fossil-fueled plants. The new coal-fired plants like the one at Cliffside in western North Carolina that Duke is building, and the pollution controls that are being retrofitted onto existing coal-fired plants. Now, the nuclear plants are some years away. I think Duke would hope to open its new Lee plant in Gaffney, South Carolina in 2021. So they have not begun recovering money from customers for nuclear yet, but that's on the way.
And what is what has Duke's response been to the protests?
Duke has had very little response other than to say that they are doing things. They are reducing emissions. That's a true fact. They are spending a lot of money. That's true. Almost $5 billion since 2009. And expect to spend about that much more in the next few years because it's, again, under regulatory mandates to build these things. It's not doing it because it just wants to be greener, even though Duke says it does, but that's, it's got to do these things, and the way utilities work is they pass on their capital costs to their customers. So that's what's happening now. Duke says that Greenpeace doesn't give them enough credit, though, for doing other things like developing commercial wind farms, as Duke has done out west, and solar, which they've also done here in North Carolina.
Well, talk a little bit more about those initiatives, to what extent they're mandated. How does Duke have to go renewable by a certain percentage at a certain date, and what has been their progress so far?
Well, the state mandate is that utilities in the state, which is largely Duke and Progress Energy, have to produce 12.5% of their retail electric sales from renewable energy or energy efficiency by 2021. So that clock has already begun ticking with a kind of a sub-mandate for solar energy, which went into effect this year. And Duke has already satisfied that mandate because they have a large solar farm in Davidson County. They also have a solar rooftops program, in which they install solar panels on commercial buildings and some homes. And they're also buying power from some solar generators. So they're doing those things, again, because they're told to do it by government. They also, the wind farms they're developing are not in North Carolina. They go where the wind is, and that's out in the plains states, Colorado, Texas, Wyoming, and they are building those plants because they can get great tax advantages from building them and because there's a market there and there's wind there.
Well, now, the experts will tell you part of the problem for renewables has been that the technology just isn't there yet to make it cost efficient. There are some pretty serious technological issues in storing and in producing the renewables that are expensive, and the R&D isn't there and the market isn't calling for it. But how has Duke responded to its critics that said, well, if you put the money you're putting into nuclear, into R&D and renewables, you'd get there a lot faster?
Well, Duke has got a mandate to produce electricity 24 hours a day. I'm beginning to sound like Jim Rogers here. I don't mean to. But,
well, you've covered him enough, and I'm asking you for their answers. So, yeah, go ahead.
It's true. They do have to produce you do expect the power to come on when you hit the light switch. It's also true that North Carolina regulators expect them to produce the lowest cost electricity that they can, and the prices here are low, even with the rate increases. Duke is, saying that it's fulfilling those mandates first and foremost, and secondly, that it is trying to move toward a less polluting power structure here. They do aim to rein in carbon dioxide emissions, which are linked to global climate change, of course, but there isn't a regulatory structure that rewards them for doing that. In the way that there is for these other pollutants.
You know, you're talking about CO2, and I know Duke Power has a plant in Indiana that was designed to recapture some CO2 and cope with the problem, but that hasn't worked out so well, has it?
It hasn't worked out well. Duke has had a morass in Indiana. They have come under charges of ethical violations, of collusion between Duke officials and state regulators in Indiana. More recently, they've come under claims that the Edwardsport plant we're referring to was mismanaged by Duke. That's still under public testimony and hearings in Indiana, hasn't been resolved yet. But the cost of that plant went from $2 billion to $3 billion now, and there's a big struggle over who will have to eat that extra $1 billion, whether it should be consumers and ratepayers, or whether it should be Duke shareholders.
So let's remind us about the merger now between Duke Energy and Progress Energy. First of all, tell us again what that's going to mean.
Well, it's going to mean the largest utility in this nation, serving 7.1 million customers in six states on the East Coast. So it's going to create a very, very large utility. It's come under scrutiny. Duke says special scrutiny by federal regulators in Washington who have pointed out that the merger of Duke and Progress would dampen competition for wholesale power in the Carolinas. And so they don't have approval from those federal regulators yet for the merger.
And what's the status of that? Of where is the merger now, and the proposed merger, and you know, when is there a likely decision? Do we know when we'll find out?
It's looking like it'll be mid-year before there's a final resolution. Duke still has to file a what's called a mitigation plan with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to respond to its concerns about the market concentration problem in the Carolinas. That will be done probably in the next 30 days or so, assuming that the federal regulators sign off on the merger. It still has to be approved here in North Carolina and to a lesser extent in South Carolina.
All right, Bruce, thanks very much for talking with us.
Glad to be here.
Bruce Henderson is the energy environment writer for the Charlotte Observer. Just ahead, how textiles can document the plight of oppressed people in exile. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.